You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Leila Khaled, Hijacker. That's the title of a film by Swedish filmmaker Lina Makhbul. It takes as its subject the first woman to hijack a plane, inspiring an international press frenzy in 1969. Laura Lamb saw a preview of this film, which is showing this afternoon as part of the Doxa Festival of Documentary Film and Video, and she joins me in the studio to talk about it. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Mordecai.
What approach does the filmmaker take to this subject?
Well, it's the film opens in a very striking way. You see this woman, middle-aged woman, alone in an airport, and there's a voiceover. It's in Swedish, of course, but the voiceover says, "This woman is a hijacker, with two grenades strapped to her belt and a gun in her panties. She hijacked two planes. That's why she became my idol." And then she goes on to say that Leila Khaled was beautiful. She was strong. You know, I'm paraphrasing. I can't exactly remember. And she says also, while men sat around in cafes and complained about oppression, she did something. So that's how it opened.
That's quite a grand opening, and it sounds like a eulogy. Is that the way the film continues?
Well, the film goes through several different kind of phases. At first, it starts out with a bang, of course, like, and kind of a startling beginning there. And then from that kind of statement that the filmmaker, that the hijacker was the idol of the filmmaker, she then kind of backtracks and says, I've gotten older now, and things aren't so simple anymore. And all my life, as I grew up, you know, in Sweden, all my life, as soon as people know where I'm from, that I'm my background, my Palestinian background, they start talking to me about kidnappings and hijackings. And Leila Khaled is responsible for this bad reputation that I think that Palestinians have. And then the film shifts to a kind of a straight documentary where she tells the story, Leila Khaled's story, her history, using film clips, really interesting film clips from, you know, that show Haifa when it was a Palestinian city, that show, you know, early, you know, a lot of battle footage and interviews with people who were on the plane that was hijacked by Khaled, and film clips from newscasts from the time and so on. So she puts together the story that way.
And if you don't give away too much, because I know people, and I'm planning to go see that the film. What do we really learn from the film about Leila Khaled?
Well, then then after all the historical clips, then we meet Leila Khaled, and I don't think I'm really giving too much away when I tell you what she turns out to be like, because it's not really very surprising. It's just what you would, if you really thought about it. What would she be doing? She's no longer, involved in armed struggle. She's not in jail. She's not dead. So she's living quietly with her husband and children in Jordan. And she's still an activist. She's seems to be a fairly conventional kind of person who, you know, eats, sleeps, vacuums her house, you know, has a little dog that she takes for a walk and so on. The film left me wondering is what kind of work she is doing now as an activist. It didn't really tell. It didn't elaborate on that at all. And I had to go to the internet to find out a little bit more about what Khaled is doing now.
And what is she doing?
Well, she travels around giving speaking. That's mostly what I found out. She seems to be some kind of a to have been, if she's not now, a politician, an elected representative of some kind. And, you know, basically she's still dedicating her life to the Palestinian cause.
So I'm getting a feeling now of a film that kind of peters out. We start with this glamorous opening, this heroine, and now kind of an ordinary life, which isn't investigated too closely by the filmmaker.
Yeah, and I was kind of surprised by that too. And what it turns out is the film is not really about what it says it's about. It's supposed to be about Laila Khaled, but it's really mostly about Lina Mahmoud. So,
the filmmaker.
Yeah. By the end of the film, I was thinking more about Lina rather than Laila.
And who is then Lina Mahmoud? And, you know, is there something that we could learn that would be of importance to us from that? I mean, is she in? If she becomes the focus to you,
well,
what do you learn?
She's it's not so much her life or, you know, her biography that's important, but her uncomfortable point of view and her role as a representative, as a documentary maker, you know, as a journalist. That's kind of a standard position of that the journalist stands in for the viewer. So I did find myself, on one hand, identifying very much with Lina, and on the other hand, I felt quite annoyed with her at various times during the film.
Is her role uncomfortable for you? Is that, or
I found,
uncomfortable
yeah,
for her?
I found it was uncomfortable for her, and that I kind of identified with her discomfort a bit. So that worked. For me as a viewer, and perhaps she's addressing people like me, people who, that the film is the audience is intended to be people like me who either support the Palestinian cause or at least feel somewhat sympathetic to it, but perhaps feel a little bit uncomfortable with the tactics that we're hearing about all the time in the media. And so that is the kind of journalistic role. Also, it came through that Lina is guilty, feels guilty about something, and she's also very worried about other people's opinions. She, as I said at the beginning, people are always wanting her to explain why the Palestinians, you know, why do they do this? You know, why are you Palestinians always hijacking and kidnapping and violent and so on? Why don't you Palestinians have any sense of humor? That comes out in the film too. This is something else she worries about. She's very equivocal. She doesn't want to take one side or other. She's also very worried about Lila's opinion of her. You can see that she thinks that Khaled's not going to think very much of her as someone who's lived a privileged life in Europe, who doesn't really understand the struggle of the real exiles and so on. She doesn't... I was also annoyed because sometimes she kept asking questions that had already been answered. But she couldn't seem to accept the answer, and she couldn't move on then to the next step in the problem, in forming her own position.
What give us an example of a question that she seemed to be hooked to, even though
well,
the answer was given.
Well, the main question was whether Khaled has any regrets, or whether she looks back and thinks maybe she shouldn't have done that. And right away, as soon as you meet Khaled, you know she doesn't. She states it, you know. So why? Why does she keep wanting to? She's afraid to ask it because I guess she knows what the answer is going to be. But somehow she still wants that to be a central, you know, she's plagued by all this hesitation and equivocation. Am I right? Am I wrong? Should I ask it? Should I not? I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. But, really, it seems like she should be moving on to the next question.
Here's a woman who did engage in the hijacking of the airplane, now continues her work in a way that doesn't fit the stereotype of Palestinians always being concerned only with violence, etc., is doing organizing work of some kind, and seems very much at ease, and yet this woman doesn't seem to be wanting to explore that as much or get some way of dealing with the stereotype, and somehow wants regret as the answer.
She seems to want Khaled to resolve the problems that she has with her own identity, it seems. She seems to think if she digs deep enough, she'll find this kind of equivocal person in there. But you can see as soon as you meet her, she's just not that kind of person. She's a person who really doesn't have a shred of doubt about anything. She could possibly say something like, well, that tactic, in my investigation on the internet later, I found out that the revolutionary organization that she belonged to after these hijackings decided that hijackings were no longer the tactic that they were going to pursue, and that was the end of the hijackings. So, but that's not the same as saying we never should have done it. So
it was annoying for you then, it seems.
Yeah, it's kind of that thing where you want to shake the person. But on the other hand, I very much identified with her equivocation as well. I kind of thought, I know what it feels to be that kind of person, not the kind of person who goes out there with grenades, but the kind of person who wonders, is it right to go out with grenades or not?
So did you find then that this dual portrait of which comes across of the filmmaker itself has real value?
Well, what really stuck in my mind and made me think was how Laila Khaled is, on one hand, a media icon, and she has been since she became famous, on which everyone projects their fantasies and their desires, and so some people want to see her as a terrorist villain. Others want to see her as this glamorous revolutionary woman warrior hero, an idol, as the film began, or a sex symbol. And even beyond that, for Lena, she's projecting on her someone who can resolve her own self-doubt. And that person, the real person who you do meet in the film, and you just, from this kind of following her around in her daily activities as much as was possible, you find that Laila Khaled is none of those things. So that is what I really found to be the lasting value of the film.
Well, thanks very much. I am going to go see that. I've been talking to Laura Lamb about the documentary Laila Khaled Hijacker. It's showing this afternoon at 4 p.m. at the Vancouver International Film Center, and that's at 1181 Seymour Street.